old song, but very, very powerful, and I just like the way Selah does it. But we're bought with the blood of Christ, bought by the blood of Christ. When he looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the Savior. This morning, if you have your notes, take them out, and I'd like you to fill those out with us. It's good if you don't, even if you don't do anything or do nothing else with them, just leave them in your Bible. Leave them in a chapter. You can turn to Luke chapter 11 if you want right now, and just leave the notes throughout your Bible. And then when you come to a passage to read again sometime, perhaps the notes will remind you of something. But the next discipline in our series that we're looking at, we've looked at meditation 2 weeks ago. We looked at Bible study last week, and this morning we're going to look at prayer. I believe it is the most essential, the most critical one of the spiritual disciplines. They're all very important, but prayer is really the offensive weapon that we have. The Word of God is our sword, but we also have prayer. And meditation is allowing God to speak to us through His Word. Prayer is us speaking to our dad, speaking to our father. And prayer really just ushers us into the very presence. When you think about it, the very presence of the Creator of the world, the Creator of the universe, it is life-changing. It is life-altering. It's peace-creating in our lives. We have a burden. We have a struggle. We can take it to God. And the most accessible conversation we can have is with our Heavenly Father. Yet so often we don't do it. I find myself times thinking, yeah, I prayed throughout the day. I prayed for this and realize I should be praying constantly. It should be a constant attitude of prayer. And I try to be and I strive to be. I make it a goal to be, but we don't always do it. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you about my roommate. One of my roommates from college, a missionary down in Georgia, has a $2,000 need, and we took up a love offering a couple weeks ago and included him. I don't think he got anything, but he didn't ask for money, just asked for prayer. But he called me. He said his boss over the mission said, Joe, you don't have because you're not asking. Call your friends from school. Call the pastors. At least have them pray for you. He's supposed to give me an update. If he doesn't, I'm going to try to give him a call this week. But we have problems sometimes making the right request at the right time with the real right conviction. We don't always believe that God is going to answer. But we're told in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, every time we pray, we receive something. Every time we pray, we receive something. He says, everyone who asks receives. Now, we might ask for $1 million, and we might not get that. So God, what we receive is God say no, not at this time anyway. We might ask for healing and not receive it, but we know that God answers us. So even if we don't verbally hear him say no, if he tells us to wait, we know. If he doesn't answer the prayer, he's just simply telling us to wait. So the Bible tells us we don't have because we don't ask, and when we do ask, we receive something. So what is prayer? Does prayer come natural to us? It doesn't. Prayer does not come naturally. It's something that we need to learn. I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 11, verse 1. I just have the last part of that verse up here. But the disciples made that request of Jesus. They said, teach us to pray. But look at the beginning part of the verse. Follow along as I read it. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 11. It says, it came about while he was praying, Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Had those men prayed before? I believe they certainly had. They were followers of Jesus, and Jesus selected them. And he was. I'm sure he taught them. That was probably one of the first things he spoke to them about was the importance of prayer. But there was something about watching Jesus pray, watching how Jesus communicated with his Father that made them go and say, Lord, teach us to pray like that. Give us that same insight. Help us to do what you were just doing. Help us to pray the way you just were praying over in that certain place. Because when he finished, they were impressed and they were ready to say, teach us. this may be a freeing thought for you this morning. Perhaps you've said, man, I struggle with prayer. Let me just ask that. How many of us struggle in prayer? Okay, my hand's up too. We pray, but we don't pray often the way we should. Perhaps, as I said, perhaps this is a freeing discussion for you because you've been a Christian for years. And you say, man, I still don't get it. I know how to read my Bible. I know I'm supposed to pray. I know how I'm supposed to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, that's an example. We're not supposed to repeat prayers. So it's just an example. Jesus didn't say pray this prayer all the time. It's just an example. So we know how we're to praise and all that, but we just don't do it well. And let me just ask you, has anyone ever taught you? Has anyone other than Jesus here, has he taught you? And I believe we are taught through the Word of God because what I'm going to talk about this morning comes from God's Word. But we want to talk about how do we pray? What is prayer? So number one is how to see God answer prayer. How do we see God answer? How do we do that? What do we need to accomplish? Is there a formula of success in order to do that? Why is it that some people, and I've mentioned this before, why is it that some people can pray and you feel like when they're talking to God that you're just right in heaven? You're right in front of God's throne and you feel as though, man, they have this insight, they have this relationship with God that I wish I could have. I wish I was able to pray like that. I wish when I spoke that God would move heaven and earth. I mentioned a black woman in our church up in Corning before, Dana. And Cheryl, and my mother-in-law is not here, but when this woman prayed, you just really felt like, tears would come to your eyes because she had a personal relationship with God, and she just entered right into the throne. We showed a video a few years ago talking about prayer partners for the church, and John Maxwell mentioned that. John Maxwell is the one who did that message and wrote the book, Prayer Partners. And he said, there's people I've come in contact with, who I pray with, who feel like when I'm with them, I just feel like God is right there and I can reach out and touch him. He says, every time I pray, I feel like I need to reintroduce myself to God. It takes me a while to come into his presence. But we all know people like that. We know people who just seem to have this in with God, and we wish we had that. When I think of that, I think of Elijah. It's one of the images I see. When Elijah battled the prophets of Baal, you remember that? And 450 prophets up on the mount, and Elijah said, come out, and we'll see who's the real God. So the prophets of Baal spent all day, all morning, all afternoon, praying and crying out to Baal to answer their prayer. They're cutting themselves. They're jumping around and dancing. And Elijah kind of teased him and said, perhaps your God's asleep. Yell a little bit louder. Maybe you can get his attention that way. So they did. They beaten on the drums, and they're jumping around, dancing, cutting themselves more, letting blood flow, and nothing happened. And Elijah said, just give me a minute. And they dug a hole around the sacrifice, poured water all over it. And then Elijah said, God, show yourself to be God. And whoo, fire came down from heaven, consumed all the water, and consumed the sacrifice. How do I get results like that? How can I do that in my life? Maybe not to that extreme. But what are some steps that we need to take in order to see God answer prayer? Number one, we need to ask in faith. We need to ask in faith. We need to believe that we really are speaking to the God of the universe. Not only are we speaking, but that he is listening. Let me ask you, what's your attitude when you pray? I think sometimes we give it away by refusing to pray in public. So often when we ask for people to pray, we have a handful of people who do, we just need you to pray. When we ask for people to pray out loud, it's not to put anyone on the spot, but it's just to encourage the body of Christ. And I think sometimes we can say, well, I'm afraid to pray. I don't like to talk in front of people. I think sometimes what's communicated is that we don't really take prayer seriously. And I'm not saying that's true for everyone. I know some people are painfully shy. We went to the Laurel Festival thing last night because Paige and Johanna Vogt played piano and violin during that, so we went to watch it. And I think there were 28 or 30 girls up on the stage, and they got it down to the 10 finalists. And the girl who eventually won, where was she from, Cheryl? Down Williamsport Way, I believe. And we had the runner-up girl, her parents were sitting next to me. The winner's parents were sitting next to Cheryl. So we had a, and the girl who was the runner-up really, I thought, should have won. She had the best answer of all of them. And her parents just were really super nice. We got talking to them, and they were Catholic, and just talking to them. I was telling them I was a pastor, and just talking to them about God and just music and how I can praise God. But the girl who won, she had to, they couldn't get the crown on her. You could tell she was getting flustered. It kept falling off her head, and she started walking around the room, and it fell on over her face. And Cheryl said at the end, her parents said at the end that when her name was called as a 10 finalist, she wanted to have her name withdrawn because she was too shy. She didn't want to do that. She didn't want to go out and have to do this whole thing for a year of going out and representing the Laurel Festival. But we said that would be really good for her to do that. And I think her parents would acknowledge it. It's going to be a change for this girl who's painfully shy to go out and have to speak and to go out and have to represent this festival. But I was thinking that as Cheryl was telling me that last night about prayer. Sometimes it's painful for us. Sometimes we don't like praying out loud. Sometimes we just don't like being seen or being heard. Let me tell you, take a step of faith. When we ask for people to pray, please step out and do that. And I want you to understand that we do what's best for the church, not always what's best for me. And when people hear you pray, when people hear you talk to the Father, it's a blessing. And God expects to be asked. God already knows what we're asking for. He knows what his answer is going to be. But he wants to be asked. And our faith is based completely on trusting him, not on the words that we use. All right, number two is come as a child. Come as a child. When a child, and you can think of this as a parent, with today being Father's Day, think about your children as they've come to you. They come with openness. They come with honesty. They come with complete trust and dependence on you. Children don't have any problem asking their parents. When a child approaches a parent, they come with openness, honesty, and trust, and they believe their parents want what is best for them. Your kids have no problem coming to you and asking for anything, whether it's something small or something, can I have a horse, Dad? You know, they'll ask for everything because they trust you. When your child comes to you and, or specifically a mom, because she's home during the day, but dad's too. Mom, I want a ham sandwich for lunch. They don't stand around and watch you prepare it. They just say, they make the request, and what do? They walk out and watch TV or go out and play, knowing and believing that when it's lunchtime, there's going to be a ham sandwich or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, whatever it is that they requested. They have total faith that you're going to bless that, and you're going to honor that, and you're going to answer that request. That's the way we need to come to God. We need to come to God simply as a child, completely dependent, completely open, completely honest, completely trusting the Father. Letter C, use your imagination. I asked the question up on the bulletin or on the screen there. How does God answer you in your wildest dreams? We approach God with faith, but also with our wildest dreams so that he can answer that. In the book, these 4 points are the only thing I got out of the book. The rest of it is just some other putting it together. But I like how he did this. But he said, he quoted, Richard Foster's the book we're using, by the way. He quoted St. Teresa of Avila. And she said this, imagination was my method of prayer, as I could not make reflections with my limited understanding. I tried to picture Christ within me. I believe my soul gained very much in this way because I began to practice prayer without even knowing what it was. Here she's saying, I imagined God answering. I imagined God answering me. I imagined God being within me. And I just asked God what was on my heart. That's what she said a little bit further. I just asked God what was on my heart. If you're praying for a marriage to be restored, imagine that image in your mind and then pray it. If you're praying for physical healing, Imagine that and then pray it. Now, let me be cautious here, because when I first read imagination in his book, I didn't agree with it. And then the more I was preparing this message and praying about it, I realized what he is saying is we're not trying to impose our will on God and say, God, I expect you to answer this wildest dream. God, I'm expecting, yes, my neighbor has cancer, and I'm expecting him to get up and be healed by the end of the week. And he's going to be up running around and being completely healthy again. What he is saying, it's not imposing our will on God, but it's placing ourselves within our requests, placing ourselves in the realm of our requests and saying, God, here I am. This is what I would love to see you answer. And God, I'm just asking you to do it. This is what I'm dreaming, God. This is the dream for my family. This is the dream for my children. This is the dream for my neighbor who's sick. God, my dream is this. Answer it according to your will, because we've already said, come as a child in trust and ask in faith. Letter D, and we'll get to the second point here, which goes along with using your imagination. But just keep it simple. Biblical prayers come from hearts that have been hurt, hearts that are struggling, hearts that are burdened. And we don't see biblical prayers, you do in the King James Version, but they're not big words. They're not saying, our gracious heavenly Father, thou art, or bless thee. And they're simple words that come from a heart, from the person who is praying with a burden. The prayer that's called the Lord's Prayer, which is really just an instructional sheet, it's beautiful, it's concise. The words aren't large, they aren't eloquent, they aren't fancy, but simply saying, our Father, you're in heaven, your name is hallowed, it's sacred, it's majestic. God, thank you for who you are. Just pray and tell God what's on your heart, what's on your mind, and using your own simple words. Don't make it more difficult than what it is. We said prayer really is simple, but we need to be taught how to do it. Now, this point number two goes along with praying our imagination. We're praying in God's will. How do we determine God's will for our lives? Well, first, we need to spend time in God's Word. And Russ, last week in Sunday school, if you were there, he said, well, I thought today's message was prayer, and you're going to do something next week. And I said, yeah, I changed that. I wanted to move prayer after Bible study, because in order to pray in God's will, we need to know His Word. We need to be students of His Word. We never pray in opposition to what God's Word reveals. In the Lord's Prayer, one of the first things He says to us, He says, your will be done in heaven, or on earth as it's done in heaven. See, even Jesus prayed in God's will and for God's will. I've known people over the years who've come to me and say things like this. They've gotten engaged to an unsaved person. They're a believer. They've gotten engaged to an unsaved person. They've come to me and said, Pastor, I know you're going to tell me this is wrong, but I have prayed about it, and God's given me real peace that it's okay to go ahead with this relationship, and I'm going to marry this person. And their mind's already made up. They've come to me to ask perhaps a little bit of a blessing on it, and I don't give it. And I simply tell them, I said, you may have prayed, but I can guarantee it's not God's peace that you're feeling. Because God does not contradict His Word. God will not bless what He condemns. When God says, do not have a relationship in marriage with an unbeliever, that's exactly what He means. When God says He condemns homosexuality, He condemns the practice of homosexuality. You can't come back and say, well, it's okay, I feel peace about being in a relationship with a same-sex person. God condemns it. God does not condemn the individual, but He condemns the practice of sin. And we can list all kinds of different sins here. And if we say we have peace about living that lifestyle and practicing that sin, and that God's given us peace about it, when God's Word condemns it, you're wrong. And it's sinful. Praying in God's will is the key. Number three, is seeking God's heart. I remember hearing a missionary pray one time, or not pray towards, but came to the Bible college and challenged us. He said, he asked us a question, does your heart break for the things that break God's heart? He was speaking specifically about lost countries of the world and lost people groups. And he said, does your heart break when you see stories and hear stories of missionaries coming back from the field and sharing about the multitudes of people that they're ministering to who don't even have a word of God in their language? Does that break your heart? And there were times I had to admit that no, my heart does not beat with God's heart all the time. But that's the challenge. We need to let our heart beat with the heartbeat of God. And there are things that can cause us to do that. There are things in God's word that he reveals to us. He tells us to pray for. So if we say we don't know how to pray, write some of these things down. It's going to be a big list up here and just some verses next to them. I didn't leave room for, but you can write them on the back or look them up yourself. But there's a list probably of 25 or 30 things I'm going to put up here of things that God tells us to pray for. So start there. If we want to pray in God's will, begin here. We pray, according to Matthew 6, pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's will to be done in our home, in our church, in our lives, our family, in our neighborhood, in our community, in our schools, in our nation. God, I'm so frustrated with what's going on. Your will be done. But Lord, help me to pray. We pray for the necessities of life, Matthew 6, 11. God tells us he's going to give us our needs, and we can pray for that. God, and we're going to watch a video here in a few minutes that's powerful. It's funny, but it's powerful. And at the end, when it's talking seriously about prayer, he says, God, so often I get my needs and my wants confused. The necessities of life, God knows them. For forgiveness of sins and deliverance from the consequences of sin, we pray that for one another. We pray that for ourselves. We pray that yes, there's sin involved here, but God restore, God bless, God use us, God be glorified through this. The ability to recognize and resist temptation. Boy, do we need that in today's world. The temptation of sexual sin, the temptation of anger, the temptation of drugs, the temptation of you name it. It's all there, and we need to pray for one another. I ask you to pray for me as your pastor to avoid and to recognize temptation, because pastors aren't sheltered from that. But pray for one another. Next, and here's a longer part, and we've got a couple more screens to go, but pray for good health and freedom from other threats. I appreciate when we pray, our deacons and trustees meet. Two guys meet each Sunday with me up in the office, and we pray before we come down. I always appreciate that 5 minutes of prayer. And Max is one who every time we pray, he prays for our military and our mortal enemies that they would come to Christ. I thought, I've got to start doing it. I tried to remember that, but Max is very faithful in praying for that as a military man. But we need to pray for safety, freedom. We need to pray for deliverance from enemies and persecution. And it's coming. We need to pray for our Christian friends around the world whose heads are being cut off because of being Christians. Once a month, either Dr. Sarah or I put up the Christian Martyrs, Voice of the Martyrs, and we pray for the things that are listed on there. And there's stories on there. I've mentioned this before, but if you don't get the Voice of the Martyrs, do it. Get on it. Get on their website. Sign up for a notification daily, and they'll send it to you. I have an app, I've mentioned, that brings up a different country every day, and you click on the country, and it tells you their history, their population, their percentage of Christians, which is usually sometimes like 0.2%. But it asks you specifically to pray for different things that are going on, people being kidnapped, people being killed. But we need to pray for deliverance. Safety and travel and care for loved ones we're separated from. Acts 21, peace, courage, joy instead of disappointment or discouragement. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God's will. We're trying to pray God's will, so it's important that we understand God's will. Salvation of lost sinners. Workers to go out and reach those lost sinners. Bold, clear preaching and teaching. But pray for me that God would give me clarity as I work on these messages, and I'm not giving my own words or my own opinions, but that it will be God's will. If you need some of these or you want to pick more up later, see me at the end of the service and we'll put them back up. Opportunities to preach and to teach. Praying for our missionaries, praying for churches in our area. Support for preachers and teachers. The choosing of elders, deacons, teachers, trustees in our congregation. Just pray for God's wisdom every year as we appoint them, as we approach them, as our men stay on, to stay on from year to year, that God would give us unity, and we would select the men that God has for us. For Jesus' death, we just thank him. That's a praise. We thank him for his death. We thank him for the supper as we remember what he's done as we look ahead. Pray for baptisms. Hopefully in the next couple months, we're going to have a baptism here as Amy follows the Lord in baptism. But pray for more. There's other people in our church that have never been baptized, and I believe it's not a sin, but I believe it's a command that we should follow. And if you haven't been baptized, please see me. It's what a testimony and what a powerful service baptisms are. Fearfulness in a life pleasing to God, or faithfulness in a life pleasing to God, that each one of us would be faithful to the Lord throughout the week and throughout our lifetime. A love for others. Strength to serve. Patience and long-suffering. Pray for that for us. Pray for that for one another. Pray for it for yourself. And then the final one's grace and mercy. That God would be merciful to our nation. He already is. He's already been faithful. But thank him for that. Praying that that his grace would be seen for proper speech, for sanctification, which is us being set apart to serve the Lord, that we would grow in our Christ-likeness, for unity, unity within the church, unity within the body, unity within this congregation, unity with the board, unity among churches. And that's one of the neat things that we're doing. The Awana has a lot of kids come here from other churches. Our youth group has at least 7 churches that send teens, and we're unified. And that's a great thing. Every time we talk about that with people, just talking to someone, we had the picnic last week, and these people travel from Troy every Sunday to bring their kids to youth group. And they said, churches just don't do this. And they've been coming out for a couple years, and I've known the parents, just gotten to know them this last year a little bit. But I stood and talked to them probably for 45 minutes, and he just said, this is amazing. What a testimony to the Lord that so many churches can come together. Eternal life, eternal glory. That's a pretty long list, but it's not a complete list by any means. But these are some suggestions of things that we can pray for, of things that we can make requests of these things for other people, but as well pray for ourselves and pray for our church. If you want to know how to pray in God's will, if you want to know how to pray things that make your heart beat with the heartbeat of God, start with that list. And then you can add a whole lot more to it as you go. Then number 4, remember it's hard work. We don't like to work hard. We don't like doing things that are difficult. Now, I like to work outside. I love cutting the grass. Russ said he hates cutting the grass. Some of you might hate it. I like to do it. I was encouraged when I first moved here at the parsonage to buy a riding mower. I walk it. And it takes me about 3 hours to do our lawn. And I just love it. I really like it. I'm starting to like gardening. I mean, I like to get the fruits of the garden. But last week I was out weeding. I hate that. And I said if I could get my crops to grow the way my weeds grow, we could feed all of Tioga County. We could do that. But my weeds came back. We went down to D.C. this week, down to Baltimore. Came back Friday night, looked out yesterday, weeds all over the place. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that work. But there's stuff that we don't like to do, but we do it. How many mornings do you get up and say, I don't want to go to work today? Or students, I don't want to go to school today. I hate it. I have a test. But we do it. We need to realize that we need to just do it. There's going to be times when we don't want to pray because it is too hard. There was a song a few years ago. I'm trying to remember who it was that sang it. Jackie Velasquez, I think. It's called On My Knees. I just have the words, just put them in my notes the other day, kind of added them. There are days when I feel the best of me is ready to begin. Then there are days when I feel I'm letting go and soaring on the wind. Because I've learned in laughter or in pain how to survive. I get on my knees. I get on my knees. There I am before the Lord that changes me. I'm sorry, there I am before the Lord, yes, that changes me. See, I don't know how, but there's power when I'm on my knees. It's not fun. Oftentimes, getting on our face before the Lord and humbling ourselves and saying, God, I blew it. God, I need to repent before I can even speak to you. That's hard work. And sometimes it's hard praying because we like to make it more complicated. It's hard. It's sometimes it's very easy just to be simple, but we think we need to be more technical with God. Folks, we just need to do it. It is hard work. Max Lucado had this on Facebook the other day. I'm a follower of his on Facebook. I thought this was so perfect, and I posted it on my page, but I love this statement. He said, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. I had a girl from our youth group in Reading, Cheryl, was that almost 30 years ago, wrote to me, messaged me on Facebook, and she has a son who lived out in Los Angeles near my son. I think they got together once or twice. But she wrote to me in the beginning of the week, and she said, Pastor Ron, she said, "It's I'm just asking you and some other friends to pray because we're having an intervention by the end of the week with my son. He's home, and it's not going to go well. Would you please pray for it?" So I wrote back to her and I said, Lori, what is it that's going on? And I said, is he involved in drugs? Was he in crime or what? And she said, heroin. And I can't remember what else she said. But she said, we took people and we had to intervene. And he's now in, I think she said, Arizona at a rehab. So I said, we would pray. And then she wrote back again while we were down in Baltimore. And she said, can you give me any advice? She said, it's just so hard. She said, I don't feel like my prayers are going anywhere. And she goes, I feel like a failure as a mom. I feel like a failure as a Christian. She goes, my son turning out this way and making these unwise choices. She goes, I feel like a failure. And I just said, I just copied it and posted it in a message to her. I said, just read this. Our prayers may be awkward. And that's what she was saying. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray for my son. I don't even know how to pray for myself. I feel so weak. I feel like a weak Christian. Our prayers may be awkward. Our attempts may be feeble, but it's not us praying. It's the one we're praying to. At the end of your notes there, you have four things, just ACTS, the word acts. And this again is, I said there's not a secret formula, but this is what I use. If you want to get started and you're not a good prayer warrior right now, please don't think I'm saying this because I've got it all together. I still struggle with this whole thing I'm talking about this morning in praying the way I should. But this is a formula that I've used since Bible college, and it's just so easy for me to remember, and I can do it throughout the day. I always start with adoration of who God is. Just, God, thank you for your awesome love. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your forgiveness of me. Thank you, Lord, because you're just an awesome God. And that's basically all I can say. I don't have the words to make God flattered, and that's not the point in that. It's just worshiping him for who he is. Then, unfortunately, the confession is the area that you spend most time in because God knows your heart. God knows your sin. And just say, God, here's what I already know about myself. And by the end of my confession time, I'm saying, God, would you point out some things that I'm not seeing too? Don't point out everything at once, God, because I can't handle that. But just point out a few things that I need to work on and that I need to confess to you. Then, you spend time thanking him for his answered prayer. And I write in a journal. I don't always keep all the answers to prayer, but I try to remember as many as I can. And in our prayer meeting, we talk about just things that God has done for us as a church over the last 7 years and or more. But things that God's done, we just praise him for that and thank him for it. God, thank you for answers to. We prayed a few weeks ago for a friend named Ryan Butler, a young guy down in who went through our youth group. Didn't have a heart attack, but found out all this blockage in the four main arteries of his heart, and he was going to have a quadruple bypass surgery. They could only do two, and then he went in 2 weeks ago and had stents put in the other one. Three of them were 99% blocked, and one was 100% blocked. 36 years old. We were down in Baltimore, and I knew he lived about 20 minutes from my brother-in-law, and I wrote to him. I said, Ryan, we're going to be down in Baltimore. Can we get together? So Cheryl and I and my brother-in-law went out and met him Thursday night, I think it was, and met him at an ice cream place. And Ryan, he looked good, and he came up and hugged me. I said, I don't want to hurt you. He goes, I'm fine now. But he has a scar about this big that's glued together. And we thank God for his healing. Because he really could have died. They told him he was within, at the most, days, possibly hours, from suffering a massive heart attack. We thank God for that. And then the S is just spending time in supplication. Supplication is just making requests for other people. Folks, I pray for you. I pray for our teens. I have a pretty good list of people that I pray for. And that's why I carry this around, because if people ask me to add something or ask to pray, I try to add it in this because I don't remember. I'm not the brightest guy. So I try to write it down, and I look at that and see what did I need to pray for. But let's support one another in prayer. Let's use this list, spending time in praising God, and spending time in confession and thanksgiving and supplication. We're going to watch this video of the skit guys right now. Someone can catch the lights back there. It starts off, it's pretty funny, but I want you to watch to the end because it's powerful.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers.